and we considered the big book and the little book. You remember, the big book is the universe, the cosmos, and the scripture tells us that the heavens declare the glory of God. That all you have to do is look around you, and all of creation is silently shouting, God is. God exists. He made this. He wants us to recognize that and acknowledge Him, that He designed it all. And so creation shouts that God is and that God exists. But we need more than the big book. We need the little book, because it's in the little book where God says, and let me tell you both who I am and what I expect. And the little book is this one right here. It's the scripture. And God has revealed Himself in that little book. And so it's better than gold or honey. And it reveals things to us about the heart and the character and the nature of God, and helps us understand what it is He requires of us. So Psalm 1, Psalm 19. This morning we come to another scenic overview. How many of you have been to Mount Rushmore? You just can't miss that picture, right? I mean, it's amazing. Mount Rushmore, you stop and think about that for a moment. It took 14 years. They removed 450,000 tons of rock to carve these faces in rock. And everybody just kind of recognizes it, right? You've got George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln, Theodore Roosevelt. These presidents represented hope and freedom. And so Mount Rushmore is a monument to that effect. And some of you might, on this holiday vacation time or whatever, you might be heading out in I-90, and if you go through South Dakota, if you get the chance, you're going to want to stop at Mount Rushmore and check it out. So what Mount Rushmore is to us in the States, I want to suggest to you that Psalm 23 is to the believers. It's just that well known. I mean, people know about Psalm 23. Even people that don't go to church or don't have anything to do with God necessarily, they still recognize at least the opening words, the Lord is my shepherd. And those words just kind of resonate. So this morning, I want us to stop and think about, what is it that David's really saying? I want you to taste it again for the very first time. All right? Because remember, from Psalm 19, we go back and we think, okay, the God who made all this, everything that is, He spoke it into existence. Remember how big the creation is? And here we are, we're on this little blue dot, this little marble that's so small, and there's 7 billion specks of dust on this dot. That's us. And who am I, O God, that the God of the universe would think about me and want something to do with me? Well, David, as he reflects on these things, we read his reflections in Psalm 23 as the Spirit of God was inspiring him. The Lord is my shepherd. And you know, when you stop right off the bat, the first thing that comes to mind is David's just saying, hey, I'm one of the sheep. And so as one of the sheep, I'm just wanting to tell you my experience, what it's like to know God as my shepherd. Remember David's story now. He was the youngest of 8 boys. And his job actually was to be the shepherd. He was to look after his father Jesse's sheep. That's where Samuel actually found him. And then years later, David's reflecting on this. And it said that concerning David, God looked at his heart and he liked what he saw. So here's a sheep that really loved the shepherd. And as David reflects, he says, the Lord Yahweh, the great I am, He is my shepherd. Now, I know some of you are really pretty sophisticated when it comes to digital cameras and all that kind of stuff. You know you can stitch pictures together, right? Everybody know that? You know, there are certain cameras where you can take a picture, a picture, a picture, a picture, and you can stitch it all together, and it becomes one panoramic view. So that's what I want to attempt to do here in just this moment, where we're looking at how He shepherds us. I want us to stop and think about, what does that mean when it's the Lord is called our shepherd? All right, and the first obvious logical thing that comes to mind is, well, that means we're His sheep and His flock. So you might write down 1 Peter 5:4, where Peter says about Jesus, He's the chief shepherd, the lead shepherd. And the writer of Hebrews celebrates Christ as the great shepherd of our souls. So if He is the shepherd and we're the sheep, that means we're property. It means that we belong to the shepherd. It means that we're not our own. We actually have been bought and paid for. And you know, we just caught a little brief glimpse of that at the end of Psalm 19, where David's reflecting and saying that He is my rock and my what? My redeemer. The one who bought me, the one who purchased me, the one who paid the price. Psalm 23 follows Psalm 22. Psalm 22 is all about the cross. It's all about the price that was paid. The blood, the sacrifice. And you see, when a sheep belongs to a shepherd, the shepherd wants to know which sheep belong to him, so he marks them. And you know how shepherds do that with sheep? They just take these sheep, they don't brand them like you do cows, okay? Cow, you can see the brand. Sheep, you notch their ears. So you lay them down on the ground and you get their ear against a wood block and then you cut a notch that looks a particular way so that you can spot your sheep at a distance. And that sheep belongs to you. That's an interesting picture because in the Old Testament parallel to that is that a freed slave could voluntarily continue to serve their master even though they had been freed. And the way they said, I'm willing to do that, is they had their ear pierced. And you thought ear piercing was new, right? It's been around a long time. Their ear was pierced as a way of saying, I belong to my master. I choose to serve him. Even though I've been free, I still choose to serve. So to stop and think, as David is saying, the Lord is my shepherd. We belong to him. That is, we've been marked. We've been bought. We've been paid for. And we're marked. In the New Testament, the mark comes through the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God that's given to us, he marks us that we belong to God. Evidence that you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ is that you have the Spirit of God. If you don't have the Spirit of God, you don't have Jesus. It's that simple. And so there's this marking that takes place. David's testifying that the Lord is my shepherd. The fact that he shepherds us, it's a reflection too. Jacob, back in Genesis 48:15, says that God has been the shepherd all my life. In the scriptures, Micah, the prophet, was prophesying about one who would come to Bethlehem, whose origins are from of old. And this is what Micah said. This one will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. He will be their peace. And so you've got this prophetic picture of the shepherd who's coming, who's going to stand and shepherd the sheep. And then in John chapter 10, the Lord Jesus says of himself, I am what? The good shepherd. I've come to seek and to save the lost. Sheep are notorious for going astray and being lost. But Jesus said, I've come to shepherd the sheep. I've come that other sheep might be come and brought into my fold. Think about that. That the Lord cares about not just his flock, but rather those other sheep out there that belong to him, but they're not yet into his flock. He wants to draw them in. The Lord is my shepherd. Yahweh, notice that's all capital letters again. The word Yahweh, great I am. I am that I am. I exist. He is my shepherd. So here's David, one of the sheep, boasting that the God who made everything, the God who has all power, the God who is the great I am that I am, he is my shepherd. Now, what do we know about shepherds? They live with their sheep. Shepherds dwell with their sheep. They're with them 24/7. They sleep there. They watch over them. They spend their every waking moment watching over them, being vigilant, caring for them, good weather, foul weather, it doesn't matter. The God of the universe, the God who made everything, he is my shepherd, and he is here present with me. He dwells with me. Does that encourage you? To stop and think that the God of the universe can be your shepherd. And he dwells with you. And he lives with you. David's saying, I am his and he is mine. He watches over me. He cares for me. He knows me. He dwells with me. Again, there's such an incredible picture back in Ezekiel, chapter 34, of the Lord's promise. He says, you know, I just want you to know that I myself will search for my sheep. I'm going to look after them. I will rescue them from all the places where they've been scattered. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries. I'll bring them into their own land. The Lord promises, I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I'll bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. I will shepherd the flock with justice. The Lord is my shepherd. He shepherds us. He dwells with us. What does that do for your heart? You know, sometimes in the church, when you read the 23rd Psalm, for a lot of folks, it's like, well, we read that one when someone's dying. True. There's reasons for that. But it's way more than that. The Lord is my shepherd today. The Lord is my shepherd in the midst of life today. Whatever's coming at me today, the Lord is my shepherd. And He dwells with me. And He's here with me now. He's my shepherd. Is He yours? I mean, it's a true statement. The Lord is my shepherd. But then, have I surrendered to Him? Am I marked? Do I belong to Him? Have I given my life to Him? He dwells with His sheep. He provides for His sheep. Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The NIV says, I like the New Living Translation. I have all that I need. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. The shepherd knows what I need. The shepherd provides what I need. I want you to picture two flocks for a moment. All right? On one side is this flock of sheep. And they're weak. And they're thin. And they're starving. And they look abused. And there's hardly any grass over there. And there's water, but it's dirty water. And it's filled with parasites and other stuff. And it's clear that they are not being cared for. Their shepherd doesn't care about them. And kind of uses and abuses them. Picture that flock for a minute. And then there's a fence. And you look on the other side of the fence. And here's what they're looking at. They're looking at a flock of sheep that are fat and sassy and jumping around. And they got great looking, you know, pelts there. And it's clear they're cared for. They got green grass and they got water. And I mean, it is paradise over there on the other side of the fence. David says, the Lord is my shepherd. And it's one sheep saying to the sheep on the other side of the fence, hey, when the Lord's your shepherd, this is what it looks like. When Satan's your shepherd, that's what it looks like. Who's your shepherd? The Lord or God's enemy? You see, the Lord cares about His sheep. He dwells with them. He provides for them. Everything that we need is provided for. Think about that. What an incredible picture. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. You know, you and I picture Ireland, right? When we hear that, we're kind of picturing Ireland and green, green, green everywhere else, right? And all these incredible sheep that live there. My mom's from New Zealand. You may not know that about me, but my mom's from New Zealand. There are more sheep than there are people in New Zealand. And it's kind of that picture. If you know Lord of the Rings, you've seen a little bit of New Zealand, okay? That kind of deal. The Lord is my shepherd. He gives me everything I want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Listen, in the Middle East, these green pastures aren't quite Ireland. All right, but a good shepherd knows where the green grass is. And they get their sheep to that place. And they help them to lie down. Now I'm going to rely on a little bit from Philip Keller, who's a preacher but also a shepherd. And he writes a little bit about this. He says, you know, sheep don't lie down easily. It's a problem for them. They just don't lie down. They need four things in order to lie down. Because they're so timid and easily spooked, they have to be free of fear. They've got to be free of fear in order to lie down. Because sheep are social animals, they've got to be free of friction. If they've got friction with others and there's headbutting going on, they won't lie down. Because sheep are easily distracted, they have to be free of pests. You know, those bugs and those mosquitoes and those other things that just kind of buzz around and just distract you. They've got to be free of that in order to lie down. And then lastly, they got to be free of hunger. All right? So in order to really lie down, they got to be in a place where they can eat and be well fed. And then they'll lay down and they'll chew the cud and those kinds of things. Wow, a shepherd knows that. I wonder, how is it in your life right now? Are you a contented sheep laying down? Or is there fear going on in your life? Is there stuff that you're just so concerned about, so afraid of? You know, God was talking to me about that this past week. Some of you know that Ashley had a road trip, and it took her quite a distance away, 7 hours. And partway through her road trip, she calls me as dad and says, Dad, I got this really loud noise coming from my car. I'm thinking, oh, this could be bad. Right? 7-hour drive. What's going on? Find out it's a wheel bearing. got her there safely. Praise the Lord, she got there safely. But I'm not aware of what all is going on. And then finally she says, Dad, it's a wheel bearing, but they tell me it's okay and I'm going to drive home. And I don't know about you, but I know about wheel bearings. And what happens when the wheel bearing goes, off comes the tire. And I'm picturing that at 65, 75 miles an hour on a 7-hour trip home. Ashley didn't quite maybe grasp all of that that was going on. She understood it was important and serious and she was paying attention, but I'm picturing what could happen, and there's a fear factor that comes up. This sheep was not laying down. This sheep was on his knees praying for his daughter. And God graciously got her all the way home. And when she took it in to get this thing looked at, the mechanic looked at her and says, I'm surprised you got here. And I'm thinking, Lord, you did that. You're her shepherd, not just mine, hers. I need to lay down my fear. What are some fear factors in your life where the Lord wants to be your shepherd and you won't let him? He wants to take away that fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Allows you to lay down. What are those things perhaps in your life where there's friction with others? Friction with other people? Interpersonal stuff that's going on and you just can't let it go and you can't rest and you're just so unsettled. What is it that God might be talking to you about and saying, I want to be your shepherd. I want to look after that so you can lay down. What are those distractions, those pests, those things that make life miserable and they keep pressing in, they buzz around and you just can't settle? Are you allowing the Lord to be the shepherd of those things in your life? Are you racing around trying to get through life and you're starving spiritually? You know, we looked at Tozer's stuff this morning, and one of the things he said that's the problem in the church is when God's people, his sheep, come and the table is fully set and they go away starving, hungry, because they didn't partake of what was there. How might the Lord want to be your shepherd in the midst of and shepherd us as he dwells for us, as he provides all this stuff? Notice what it says. He says, he leads me beside peaceful streams. He restores my soul. What an incredible picture. Not only does he know the green pastures to take me to, but there's these quiet streams, this place that I can go and I can drink deep. You see, sheep, they don't like running, moving water. They see themselves and they spook. And so it's got to be quiet pools where they can go, and then they can drink deep. And you may not be aware of this, but sheep, a lot of what they retain by way of moisture and stuff comes when they're grazing on the grass when it's heavy with dew. And I believe that's just a picture of the Word of God feeding us, the Word of God that is there. And so these quiet streams are quiet times. We call them devotionals or things like that. The shepherd cares for our souls, and he knows what it is we need. And so we need to be quieted so we can lay down. And then we need the Word of God that feeds us and restores our soul, refreshes us. Do you feel refreshed this morning? I was watching you, some of you come in. You looked a little tired. You play hard yesterday? Stayed out of the sun? Right? What do we need that really restores our soul? It's not just a day off or just some relaxation time. We actually need the Word of God to minister to our heart and soul, the inner being, and to live in that fullness. Well, the shepherd knows that about us, and so he restores our soul. He helps us at that place. So what happens when a sheep begins to kind of relax and so on, and sometimes they lay down, and there's this thing called being a cast sheep. Do you know what a cast sheep is? A cast sheep is where the sheep lays down in kind of a hollow and it just kind of stretches and it rolls over and it's on its back and it cannot get its feet on the ground. That's a cast sheep. Picture this ball of fur is kind of up and feet straight up and they're frantically moving their feet and they cannot get back over. Can a sheep get back on its feet by itself? No. It's why it needs a shepherd. And so when you're in these green pastures and quiet waters and those kinds of things, we need to have our souls restored. That word could be translated, and my soul repents. My soul turns back to God. And I think it's a picture of a cast sheep. Because there's times where we get crossways with God, and we're not walking with God the way we're supposed to, and our feet are flailing in the air, and we just can't get ourselves feet on the ground. We need the shepherd to come with his staff and reach over and flip us over to get our feet back on the ground. So I wonder if that's something that you might have been experiencing. And again, the way that God does that is through His Word and by His Spirit and through other Christians around you. The shepherd reaches out and says, I just want to get you back on your feet. I want to help you do this journey with me. Well, He not only dwells with His sheep, not only provides for His sheep, He guides His sheep. Verse 5, the Lord guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. You see, God just wants us to go down the right path. He wants us to live right. That's what that word righteousness means, to do the right thing at the right time for the right reasons with the right attitude. Right? God just wants us to live there and walk there. And the shepherd guides us there. The shepherd knows those paths. And so if you want to walk that path, the Scripture says, walk like Jesus walked. In other words, live the same way. Go in His footsteps. And so the Lord wants us to go there. And so we live a life that is righteous and true. And notice it's for His name's sake. Because your reputation impacts God's reputation. How you live either elevates God's name or denigrates God's name. And so as His sheep, we want to live righteous lives, going down that path. And when we do, it lifts up God's name. When we fail to do those things, it brings His name into dishonor. You might just write down Ezekiel chapter 36, because the Lord talks there about His sheep that have lived in such a way that the other nations around them that don't believe in God, they're just taking and dishonoring the name of God and shaming the name of God because of the way the sheep are acting. And God says, I'm going to deal with that. So our good shepherd cares about how we live, and He wants us to live right. And so He guides us in that path. And then as I shared with the kids, you know, the Scripture says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Our shepherd is well armed. He's well equipped. And so He's able to comfort us, but especially as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, especially as we walk through a deep, dark valley, a place that feels dangerous, a place that we feel very vulnerable, a place where danger comes from all sides. And the shepherd is no longer just kind of right out in front, but rather the shepherd is right there with his sheep walking through that dark place. Say, I'm right here. It's okay. I know the way. I'll take you through. The reason Psalm 23 resonates so deeply with us is because those words speak to us in that place, in that season. And when we walk that valley, Christ says, I'm here. I've walked that path. I know the way. It's okay. I'll take you through. You see, the shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd because He shepherds me all the way home. All the way. He doesn't leave us part way. But rather, He takes us all the way. And so He protects us. I will fear no evil. You are with me. Do you notice how the pronouns change? They go from before it was He and now it's you. You're my shepherd. And I will fear no evil because you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. What an incredible picture. Does that bring comfort, encouragement to our hearts? Now, if I stopped right there, we've got this incredible picture, right? And we've got the shepherd and the sheep. What do you do with the rest of the psalm? Is it still a shepherding picture? Or does it go a different direction? I want to suggest to you this morning that David wants us to understand that the Lord is not only our shepherd, but He's our friend. He's our friend. And because He's our friend, He hosts an unforgettable victory party. Verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. You have this picture of this festive banquet. David being the honored guest, and his head's being anointed with oil, his cup is overflowing, but there's enemies at this table. Does that sound like David would write that when he was a shepherd boy? I mean, here's evidence that this was written later, where David had experienced what it's like to be attacked, and he has enemies. But that being so, he says, the Lord, as my dear friend, He sets this victory banquet right here, and I'm allowed to come and join in this banquet, and my head is anointed, my cup overflows, and yes, there's enemies around it, but these are defeated enemies. And I want you to think in terms of the Lord's Supper as the Lord Jesus Christ shared that supper with his disciples, and indeed there was an enemy amongst them, was there not? In that Judas, the one who would betray him, was present. Satan had entered him. And yet Christ had the victory, and Christ won that victory over the cross. And we just sang of it just a few moments ago, how on the third day he rose up, and there's this glorious celebration that Christ is king, and he has risen, he overcame the enemy, and there's this wedding banquet, and David says, I get to be a part of it. My friend has allowed me to come and celebrate with him this victory that Jesus has won on the cross. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. What an incredible promise that is. You know, when I hear those words, follows me, I'm thinking, well, it sounds like they're behind me. No. The sense is that God's mercy and his covenant love just go with us all the way through life. They surround us. They do the journey with us. We're never without them. When you woke up this morning, whatever's happening in your life had to pass through God's loving, merciful hands first. Everything. Always true. Whatever you face tonight, whatever you face tomorrow, the same is true. All the way through life, all the days of my life, Father, your love and your mercy follow me. Does that encourage your heart? Is there ever a day where you don't have that available? You know, Jeremiah, looking at Jerusalem, tore down stone by stone, totally destroyed. Jeremiah says, I call this the heart, and this is why I have hope. Your mercies are new every morning. Your mercies are new. All the days of my life. His goodness and his mercy follows. Our shepherd is our good friend, our close friend, and it's his goodness that sustains us. I believe Paul's talking about that in Romans 8. You know, nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. And notice that the shepherd shepherds us all the way home until we finally reach our heavenly home. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, David pictures this moment where he's passed through that valley, yes, and he's through death's gates, but now he's entering into heaven and glory and this room, this home that God has provided for him. I'm going to dwell there forever. That's the last word of that psalm, right? Forever. We started with that song this morning, didn't we? Forever. I'm going to dwell there forever. I'm going to enjoy this heavenly home that God has provided for me. And God's brought me all the way home. He's my shepherd. He's my close friend. Oh, glorious day. I will dwell with him forever. My hope and prayer this morning is that you can say with David, with all authenticity, Lord, you're my shepherd. And you've got my back, and you're taking me through, and you're going to shepherd me all the way there, and I lack nothing. I have all the resources I need. Lord, teach me how to lay down and be quiet. Teach me how to rest in you. Restore my soul. I don't have to be afraid of anything. You're here with me. You've got the rod and the staff. You have all that I need. I can walk there. God, I'm going to be in this victory banquet, this wedding banquet of the Lamb. I'm going to be a part of that. Your mercy, your goodness follows me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's something to celebrate. Does it make a difference in how you live your life? The Lord's my shepherd. Many of you know that Kate is finished now in Poipet, Cambodia, but she had a final blog. I don't know if you caught the story or not, but she talked about what it was like as a nurse in Cambodia and ministering to some people, and especially one lady. This 34-year-old mom has four kids, and she was diagnosed with end-stage cancer. And that weighed heavily on Kate. And Kate had gone with Dr. Copeland, and they had shared the Lord with her, and we saw results. This gal had come back, and she peppered Kate with these questions. I got 3 months to live. That was 2 months ago. Am I going to die soon? Is that true? What do I do? And in all of that, she discovered through the church in her community that her shepherd, her Savior, is there for her. And she responded to Jesus. She put her trust in Christ. And then later on, as Kate was treating her, Kate's telling the story and says, you know, this woman, she's being treated for pain, and she was being ministered to, and she really didn't have pain, but she was weeping. She was just weeping. And Kate asked the question, why are you weeping? What's happening? And this woman just responded back to her, and she said through these tears of joy, she's dying, but she had tears of joy. She said, I've never been loved like this before. I've never experienced this kind of love. And the people in the church that had been loving on her says, you just need to understand, this comes from Jesus. This is God's love for you. God is just shepherding you, just loving on you because you're His sheep and you matter to Him. Do you believe God thinks about you that way? Does He meet you in those places in that way? The Lord is my shepherd, and the Lord says, you are my sheep, and I love you, and I give myself for you. I want you to be with me where I am. Can you celebrate that this morning? Have you tasted it again for the very first time? Lord, you're my shepherd. I will go where you go. Where you lead, I will follow. And Lord, I lack nothing. I have everything.